Good afternoon, and welcome to worship. I'm going to be leading the service from about here, so if you can't see me, I'm going to suggest you might want to move if you want to be able to see me. And if you don't, that is just fine. Also, as we begin worship, I want to make sure that everyone has a little booklet with a writing implement. This is going to be a reflective service. There's going to be time to reflect on some questions. And so whether you write words or doodle, draw, create a poem, be as artistic or non-artistic as you like, you are welcome to reflect in there as we go through this service. And so as we begin, we remember that we're situated on the traditional lands of the Unkwehonwe. And so we acknowledge and give thanks for the enduring presence of First Nations, Métis, and Inuit people on this land. And we are committed to moving forward in the spirit of reconciliation and respect. So, friends, today is a painful day in the story of our faith. We learn about betrayal, abuse, and murder. We feel heartbreak and grief. We hear echoes of the most painful parts of our own lives, the lives of those we love, and the lives of our neighbors who suffer around the world. As our perception adjusts to the growing darkness with each extinguished candle, our hearts adjust to the deepening discomfort of the Passion story. As we witness new and deeper things in the dark, our hearts perceive moments of kindness, acts of compassion, and instances of forgiveness amid the pain. Today, the story of Jesus' death will remind us not only of our ultimate liberation from death, but also of the quiet joy our Creator holds for us when we cannot carry it ourselves. As Christians, we hold the grief of this day along with the goodness of God, and we know that this story is not the end. And so as we worship, we remember that we are partners and participants in the work of God. Together, we are committed to helping build a city where no one journeys alone. Let's pray. Open our hearts, O God, even to the point of breaking. If they break, let them be broken open to receive the love and awe waiting at the foot of the cross. Open them to our neighbors, here at home and around the world. Open them to the courage to accept what shadows can reveal. Open them to joy that waits beyond the pain. Amen. I invite you to join together and sing Go to Dark Gethsemane. Our first reading is from Mark 14, verses 1 to 9. In only 2 days, the 8-day festival of Passover and the feast of unleavened bread, would begin. The high priests and religion scholars were looking for a way they could seize Jesus by stealth and kill him. They agreed it should not be done during Passover week. "We don't want the crowds up in arms," they said. Jesus was at Bethany, a guest of Simon the leper. While he was eating, a woman came up carrying a bottle of very expensive perfume. Opening the bottle, she poured it on his head. Some of the guests became furious among themselves. "That's criminal, a sheer waste. This perfume could have been sold for over a year's wages and handed out to the poor." They swelled up in anger, nearly bursting with indignation over her. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why are you giving her a hard time? She has just done something wonderfully significant for me. You will have the poor with you every day for the rest of your lives. Whenever you feel like it, you can do something for them. Not so with me." She did what she could, when she could, and she pre-anointed my body for burial. And you can be sure that wherever in the whole world the message is preached, what she did is going to be talked about admiringly. So we take a couple minutes, to reflect. When has someone performed an outrageously kind act for you? And how did you feel? And when have you performed or witnessed such an act for someone else? I invite you to reflect in whatever way you deem fit. And these are just for you. You don't need to share them with anyone else, so feel free to write what you want. Let's pray. Holy One, an act of extravagant kindness bolstered your child for the terrible suffering to come. When suffering finds us and those we love, pour out such compassion on us. Soften our hearts that we can pour ourselves out in kindness and in service to others. Let greater suffering always inspire greater care. Amen. I invite you to join together and sing "Said Judas to Mary." The next reading is from Mark 14, 10 to 26. Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the cabal of high priests, determined to betray him. They couldn't believe their ears and promised to pay him well. He started looking for just the right moment to hand him over. On the first of the days of the unleavened bread, the day they prepare for the Passover sacrifice, his disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations so you can eat the Passover meal?" He directed two of his disciples, "Go into the city. A man carrying a water jug will meet you. Follow him. Ask the owner of whichever house he enters. The teacher wants to know, 'Where is my guest room where I can eat the Passover meal with my disciples?' He will show you a spacious second-story room, swept and ready. Prepare for us there." The disciples left, came into the city, found everything just as he told them, and he prepared the Passover meal. After sunset, he came with the 12. As they were at the supper table eating, Jesus said, "I have something hard but important to say to you. One of you is going to hand me over to the conspirators, one who at this moment is eating with me." Stunned, they started asking one another, "It isn't me, is it?" He said, "It's one of the 12, one who eats with me out of the same bowl. In one sense, it turns out that the Son of Man is entering into a way of treachery, well marked by the scriptures. No surprises here. In another sense, the man who turns him in turns traitor to the Son of Man. Better never to have been born than do this. This is my body." In the course of their meal, having taken and blessed the bread, he broke it and gave it to them. Then he said, "Take, this is my body." Taking the chalice, he gave it to them, thanking God, and they all drank from it. He said, "This is my blood, God's new covenant, poured out for many people. I will not be drinking wine again until the new day when I drink it in the kingdom of God." They sang a hymn and then went directly to Mount Olives.
In this reading, betrayal and celebration are intertwined. So I wonder, when have you felt betrayal or discord break into a time of joy? Or joy break into a time of pain or disappointment? Have you seen this in your church, in your neighborhood, in the country? Let's take some time to reflect. Let's pray. Holy One, even in moments of deepest human failures, you are there. Even in times of betrayal and abandonment, you are near. You are present to us in bread and cup, and you are present to us in the imperfect companions you've given us. Break our hearts open to recognize you and the gifts you offer. Amen. I invite you to join together and sing, "An Upper Room Did Our Lord Prepare." Now from Mark 14, verses 32 to 46. They came to an area called Gethsemane. Jesus told his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John with him. He sank into a pit of suffocating darkness. He told them, "I feel bad enough right now to die. Stay here and keep vigil with me." Going a little ahead, he fell to the ground and prayed for a way out. "Papa, Father, you can't you? Get me out of this? Take this cup away from me. But please, not what I want. What do you want?" He came back and found them sound asleep. He said to Peter, "Simon, you went to sleep on me? Can't you stick it out with me a single hour? Stay alert and be in prayer so you don't enter the danger zone without even knowing it. Don't be naive. Part of you is eager, ready for anything in God, but another part is as lazy as an old dog sleeping by the fire." He then went back and prayed the same prayer. Returning, he again found them sound asleep. They simply couldn't keep their eyes open, and they didn't have a plausible excuse. He came back a third time and said, "Are you going to sleep all night? No, you've slept long enough. Time's up. The Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let's get going. My betrayer has arrived." No sooner were the words out of his mouth when Judas, the one out of the 12, showed up, and with him a bunch of thugs sent by the high priests, religion scholars, and leaders, brandishing swords and clubs. The betrayer had worked out a signal with them. "The one I kiss is the one. Seize him. Make sure he doesn't get away." He went straight to Jesus and said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. The others then grabbed him and roughed him up.
There's a lot in this scripture to reflect on. What is your relationship to prayer? How is it reflected in the disciples' responses? Have you ever prayed for something or prayed for God to prevent something from happening, but it happened anyway? Take some time and reflect.
Let's pray. Holy One, allow our prayer to call out so continuously and to listen so fervently that waking or sleeping, we are always connected to you. In the silence, the rant, the plea, the praise, let us always be drawn deeper into relationship. Amen. I invite you to you join together and sing Shadows Gather Deep and Cold.
Continuing with Mark 14, verses 52 to 53, 66 to 72. They led Jesus to the chief priest, where the high priests, religious leaders, and scholars had gathered together. Peter followed at a safe distance until they got to the chief priest's courtyard, where he mingled with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. While all this was going on, Peter was down in the courtyard. One of the chief priest's servant girls came in and, seeing Peter warming himself there, looked hard at him and said, "You were with the Nazarene, Jesus." He denied it. I don't know what you're talking about." He went out on the porch. A rooster crowed. The girl spotted him and began telling the people standing around, "He's the one." He denied it again. After a little while, the bystanders brought it up again. "You've got to be one of them. You've got Galilean written all over you." Now Peter got really nervous and swore, "I never laid eyes on this man you're talking about." Just then, the rooster crowed a second time. Peter remembered how Jesus had said, "Before a rooster crows twice, you'll deny me three times." He collapsed in tears.
As we reflect this time, I invite you to think about where or when you have denied your connection to Jesus, maybe not only with words, but with actions. When has your church failed to follow Jesus faithfully? And when have you corrected the course? Let's pray. Holy One, give us faith to claim you with what we do and with what we say. And when we do not, send us companions to remind us of your call and to show us grace for our failures. Amen. Let's join together and sing Bitter Was the Night. Mark 15, verses 16 to 40. The soldiers took Jesus to the palace called Praetorium and called together the entire brigade. They dressed him up in purple and put a crown plaited from a thorn bush on his head. Then they began their mockery. Bravo, King of the Jews! They banged on his head with a club, spit on him, and knelt down in mock worship. After they'd had their fun, they took off the purple cape and put his own clothes back on him. Then they marched out to nail him to the cross. There was a man walking by, coming from work, Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. They made him carry Jesus' cross. Soldiers brought Jesus to Golgotha, meaning Skull Hill. They offered him a mild painkiller, wine mixed with myrrh, but he wouldn't take it. And they nailed him to the cross. They divided his clothes and threw dice to see who would get them. They nailed him up at 9 o'clock in the morning. The charge against him, the King of the Jews, was scrawled across a sign. Along with him, they crucified two criminals, one to his right, the other to his left. People passed along the road, jeered, shaking their heads in mock lament. You brag that you could tear down the temple and then rebuild it in 3 days, so show us your stuff. Save yourself. If you're really God's son, come down from that cross. The high priests, along with the religion scholars, were right there mixing it up with the rest of them, having a great time poking fun at him. He saved others, but he can't save himself. Messiah, is he? King of Israel? Then let him climb down from that cross. We'll all become believers then. Even the men crucified alongside him joined in mockery. At noon, the sky became extremely dark. The darkness lasted 3 hours. At 3 o'clock, Jesus groaned out at the depths, crying loudly, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? Which means, my God, why have you abandoned me? Some of the bystanders who heard him said, listen, he's calling for Elijah. Someone ran off, soaked a sponge in sour wine and put it on a stick and gave it to him to drink, saying, let's see if Elijah comes to take him down. But Jesus, with a loud cry, gave his last breath. At that moment, the temple curtain ripped right down the middle. When the Roman captain standing guard in front of him saw that he had quit breathing, he said, this has to be the Son of God. There were women watching from a distance, among them Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of the younger James, and Joseph and Salome. When Jesus was in Galilee, these women followed and served him and had come up with him to Jerusalem. As we listen to this reading, what do you feel in your body? Where have you witnessed Jesus' crucifixion again and again in the suffering of others? Take time to reflect. Let us pray. Holy One, Jesus' death destroyed death and all that would separate us from you. Yet your children still suffer without any need or reason. Liberate us so that we can in turn free and heal others who are still crucified today. Amen. I invite you to join together and sing When the Son of God Was Dying.
Thank you.
Our last reading is from Mark 15:42-47. Late in the afternoon, since it was the day of preparation, that is Sabbath Eve, Joseph of Arimathea, a highly respected member of the Jewish council, came. He was the one who lived expectantly on the lookout for the kingdom of God. Working up his courage, he went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate questioned whether he could be dead that soon and called for the captain to verify that he was really dead. Assured by the captain, he gave Joseph the corpse. Having already purchased a linen shroud, Joseph took him down, wrapped him in the shroud, placed him in a tomb that had been cut into the rock, and rolled a large stone across the opening. Mary Magdalene and Mary, mother of Joseph, watched the burial.
What last acts of love and respect have you performed for a loved one? What do you hope that someone does for you? Let's pray. Holy One, even after all he suffered, Jesus' friends tended to his body with love. May we tend lovingly to all the dead, so that our last acts and last words testify to your love that lasts far beyond death. Amen. I invite you to join together and sing "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross."
Yeah.
At the end of everything, when it seems like the world has ended and joy is gone, what's left? In the Christian tradition, centuries of mystics, monastics, and ordinary people have used silent prayer as a tool to connect deeply with God when all else fails. Beauty, wonder, joy, and grief have all inspired silent prayer. As we reflect on Jesus' crucifixion, we pray for all God's people and all creation using an ancient prayer form called a bidding prayer. Much of this prayer is spent in silent, focused contemplation. So please sit in whatever place or way is comfortable for you, because it takes some time to go through. And you'll be guided through the prayer by bids, specific invitations to focus your prayer. In each part of the prayer will begin with a bid. There will be a moment of silence for contemplative prayer, and then silence will conclude with a brief spoken prayer before moving on to the next bid. So your praying may be silent, but your preparation is active. At the foot of the cross, our hearts are broken open, and we pray together for God's whole creation. We pray for our church community, the churches near us, our denomination, and Christians throughout the world. Holy God, as we remember the Passion story at the core of our faith, we pray for our Christian siblings. Encourage people and families preparing for baptism. Correct us when we make a weapon of your love. Send your spirit of connection when our differences threaten to divide us. Make us into Jesus' body, wounded, crucified, yet whole. Amen. We pray for our Jewish neighbors, and for Jews around the world, recalling the harms that they have suffered at the hands of Christians throughout history. Holy God, as we recall Jesus' own Jewish origin, we pray for our Jewish neighbors near and far. Remind us that they too are your beloved people. Protect them from the violence of anti-Semitism. Lead us closer to real understanding, mutual respect, and healing justice. Amen. We pray for our local and global neighbors of other faiths and those of no faith. Holy God, just as Jesus cared for Samaritans and Gentiles, we pray for Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, Sikhs, Jains, Baha'is, folks who practice traditional faith, indigenous faith, and other people of faith. Protect them as they practice their religions and work through them to make a world more just and more loving. Send your peace wherever there's interreligious conflict, discrimination, or oppression. We pray also for people of no faith. Sustain them and give them lives of meaning, and help us to be their partners for a world where all are free. Amen. We pray for every place and situation where people suffer conflict and violence, disaster, pain, or loss, from personal relationships to our cities and towns to international wars. Holy God, as we remember Jesus' torture and death, we pray for everyone in physical or psychological danger. Aid people at risk in abusive relationships. Protect schools and vulnerable communities from all kinds of violence. Shelter refugees fleeing from conflicts and those who are left behind. Guard people who willingly endanger themselves to save others. Melt warheads into wheelbarrows. Turn anger into passion for peace. Amen. We pray for justice in all the places where Jesus is crucified daily. Holy God, as Jesus died a victim of hatred and imperial power, we pray for justice wherever God's people suffer. Protect climate refugees and indigenous cultures. Shield victims of racism, white supremacy, homophobia, transphobia, and religious intolerance. Disarm governments that persecute their citizens. Inspire leaders to work for justice that repairs harm, even after many generations. Amen. We pray for all creation crying out to God. Holy God, the midday sun went dark when Jesus died. Hear the wordless prayers of your whole creation, mountains and marshes, oceans and rivers, plants and animals, fungi and bacteria, galaxies and grains of sand. Where we have caused harm, bring healing. Where we have oppressed, bring freedom. Where we have failed to value it, treasure your creation as priceless. Reconnect us to the universe, one species among many, infinitesimal and essential. Amen. In the aftermath of the noise and in the wake of the silence, we pray in simple words, the ones that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Christ has died. Go out into the world holding the grief of this day for Jesus and for all with whom he suffers. Go out into the world perceiving more than suffering. Go out into the world with hearts broken open to receive the gifts of God. Amen.